gospel reading is from Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Let us listen to the word of God. Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had and all she had to live on." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Of all the gifts I got my wife for Christmas last year, there was one I was most excited about giving. For about a week, I woke up early in the morning so I could get it finished in time for Christmas. I followed a tutorial online, and it cost about $10. When she finally opened it, I could tell she was excited. I might have been more excited than she was, but she now had a clock in the dining room that she could actually see. It doubled as a family photo. So we sometimes now say it's half past Lydia. Those are the valuable gifts. They usually aren't worth a lot of money, but the extra effort and extra time, the value of the relationship and knowing the person so well that the gift brings that extra meaning. Today in our scripture reading, we meet a widow who doesn't give anything really of value, but to her, it's incredibly valuable. Compared to everyone else, it's a drop in the bucket, yet it's everything she has. She drops in two little copper coins worth less than a penny. Yet Jesus knows that she's given more than all of them combined. Today, the living God recognizes this incredible gift she's given. Now, this is one of those Bible stories most of us know very well. If any of us were in a tight spot like this woman, most of us would probably hold back our giving. I mean, you've got to pay the bills, right? But when it comes to the offering, is it required? So why would this widow give everything she has? My guess is that God doesn't really need her two little coins. In fact, it would mean she'd have to go hungry that evening. If she didn't give, nobody would blame her, yet she gives it all. The Bible never tells us why she does it, but I'm certainly curious, aren't you? There's a few reasons she could give. It could have been out of sacrifice. However, I don't think God expects a sacrifice like that from any of us. I certainly hope that's not her motivation. Her motivation could have been due to fear. Maybe she didn't want to look bad in front of others, so she gave out of obligation or appearances. The reality is everyone knew she was poor. It wouldn't have been enough motivation to give everything away. Maybe she could have given it out of faith. She had a strong sense that God would provide. God had provided for her up until now, and God will continue to provide. While I think we're a bit closer, it still doesn't add up to me. In the Book of Joy by Archbishop Desmond Tutu and the Dalai Lama, there's a quote by Brother Stendhal Rast that says it best. "When you are grateful, you are not fearful. And when you are not fearful, you are not violent. When you are grateful, you act out of a sense of enough and not out of a sense of scarcity, and you are willing to share. If you are grateful, you are enjoying the differences between people and respectful to all people. A grateful world is a world of joyful people. Grateful people are joyful people." That's it. The widow gives all she has. all she has to God. She's not filled with fear or obligation or a sense of scarcity. She's willing to share it because she's grateful. Grateful people are joyful people. Now, I imagine most of us yearn for that sense of freedom, but the truth is most of us are probably stressed out to the max. The world teaches us that we can have it all, so we don't ever let up. We can't sleep at night. We're depressed. Even when we rest, most of us still don't disconnect from technology. We might even say we're grateful, but our gratitude philosophy might sound more like this. I give you something as a token of my appreciation, and then you respond with a gift. This for that. Indebtedness. Pastor Jason Mitchell says it this way, I've always been awful at receiving gifts. I hate being in another's debt. I was a guy who always kept score, which meant I didn't mind you being in my debt. I just didn't want to be in yours. The truth is, the widow has something nobody in that line had. Yes, she might have been poor, but she had something more valuable than any of them: freedom and gratitude and joy. She could let everything she had go and be completely content. Now, the world doesn't give us that. It just takes and takes and takes. I don't know about you, but I want to be like this widow. I want that freedom, no longer feeling a sense of scarcity. At a conference, a presenter was telling us how he used to be a Wall Street banker. His boss was a billionaire with a B, but his boss was miserable. He explained that with billions of dollars, he often watched his boss looking at a rendering of his mausoleum. He'd look at it from different angles, he said, in his office, in the jet. One day, the banker's dad got really sick, and he told him and his siblings, gathered them all together and said, now the next time I go to the hospital, that's it. Just let me go. Each chapter of my life was better than the last, and I know where I'm going. The contrast between his billionaire boss and his dad flashed before his eyes. Now, the banker felt like he was doing it right. He had a family, a successful job. He was even a deacon at his church. But this was his wake-up call because he didn't have what his dad had. Each chapter of his life wasn't better than the last. So he talked to his wife, and he left Wall Street, and he never looked back. Today, he's giving presentations and building sophisticated tools, not for billionaires, but for the Presbyterian Foundation. He's helping the church build God's kingdom, and he can now honestly say each chapter is better than the last. We live in a world that pushes indebtedness, that teaches us that we don't have enough. Yet God desires us to live differently, to be more like this widow who gives it all away, or to live in such a way that each chapter is better than the next. Now, this isn't something new. In fact, we say we want this every time we say the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The sound of two small coins dropped in the offering plate. It's the sound of freedom and gratitude. It's the sound of joy. I invite you to grab a pencil and scribble this down. You heard it earlier. What is God calling me to give as a percentage of my income? It's a personal, spiritual question leading us to freedom, gratitude, and joy. Three kinds of people answer it in three different ways. Some people answer it by saying, I feel God's calling me to give 10% of my income to the Lord's work. I've been thinking about tithing several years, and I want to begin the spiritual journey this year. another kind of person responds to a question like this: eventually, I want to begin tithing, but I'm not ready to do that this year. I feel God calling me to start somewhere, to drive my tent pegs in the ground, 5% or 6% or 4%, knowing that God will bless that decision by helping me to increase my giving in the coming years. The third kind of person has been tithing for many years. For example, a couple might have said as they were first getting started, "We'll tithe now, and later we'll do more." The years rolled by, and now they say, "Wow, do we ever have more? We feel God's calling us to give 15 or 20% of our income to the Lord's work." I don't know how to explain it any better than the widow. But our giving to God isn't based on scarcity or fear. It's filled with gratitude and joy. It's the very reason our family gives God 10%. This year, we're increasing our giving this year to $650 a month because we want that freedom and joy and gratitude. And I'm telling you, it's worth it. It's better than anything else the world has to offer. It allows our teenagers this week to be transformed at a youth retreat. It helps us celebrate baptisms and help widows and support daycare children and to make wells with safe drinking water. As we prepare for our annual Stewardship Sunday next week, as we consecrate it, I know each of you will be praying for God's guidance to answer the spiritual question, what percentage of my income is God calling me to give? Now, I'm quite positive the widow didn't go hungry that night. Jesus took notice. He saw her give out of gratitude and joy, giving all she had to God. And that day, she had a front row seat with God in the flesh. Gratitude, joy, and freedom. It's something God wants all of us to have. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.